When I first administered an injection to a patient against his will as a mental health nurse, his haunting question stayed with me. Do I have to beg you? This moment captures the complex reality of mental health care, where good intentions collide with human suffering, where language shapes reality, and where the boundary between treatment and trauma blurs. What if everything we think we know about mental illness is incomplete? What if our labels and treatments sometimes cause as much harm as good? The conversation about madness and its meanings concerns not just those diagnosed with mental illness, but all of us navigating the fragile terrain of our own minds. A schizophrenia diagnosis can alter someone's life instantly. Unlike physical conditions confirmed through medical tests, psychiatric diagnoses rely purely on words. What people say or don't say determines their classification. Psychology, psychiatry, and psychosis represent distinct approaches. Psychology studies mental life through talking therapies. Psychiatry focuses on biological causes and medical treatments, while psychosis describes losing contact with consensus reality through hallucinations and delusions. The unreliability of psychiatric diagnosis is striking. Studies show psychiatrists agree on diagnoses only about 50% of the time. As one patient noted after multiple diagnoses, he simply had James syndrome. The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, DSM, attempted to standardize diagnosis, but raised questions about its arbitrary thresholds. Without biological markers, psychiatric diagnoses are created by committees influenced by clinical, political, and social forces. While diagnoses represent observed patterns of human experience, they're problematic. The DSM has expanded from 128 disorders to 541, what former NIH director Dr. Stephen Hyman called an absolute scientific nightmare. Most critically, these diagnoses transform subjective experiences into concrete disorders, potentially blocking alternative perspectives on human suffering. Molly's descent into psychosis began with her parents' violent separation at age 11, progressed through teenage substance use, and peaked at university when she drank bleach, convinced she was Britain's most wanted criminal. Her paranoia included beliefs about newspaper coverage of her alleged crimes and police surveillance. James, a promising military cadet, broke down at Sandhurst, appearing on the parade square in pajamas, believing his discharge was a secret test. He spent weeks fighting sleep, convinced he was testing psychological weapons for the army. Despite dire predictions about their futures, both rebuilt their lives. Molly became a successful writer, while James achieved distinction as possibly the first retained firefighter with a schizophrenia diagnosis, earning a chief fire officer's commendation. Their recoveries stemmed not just from medical treatment, but from finding meaning and connection. Jasper's voice hearing began at 6, with Spider-Man as a companion during his nomadic military childhood. At boarding school, he developed a comforting voice resembling his grandmother's, though this later transformed into distressing whisperers. Now working as a mental health nurse in a secure hospital, Jasper leads a Hearing Voices support group, where sharing his own experience transformed the dynamic from us and them to a unified group of voice hearers sharing their stories. In the UK, people diagnosed with schizophrenia live 20 years less than average, a stark reminder of real human suffering beyond diagnostic debates. What drives this disconnect from reality? Poverty stands as the primary predictor of psychosis, acting as the cause of causes by increasing stressors while limiting support resources. Relative poverty proves even more impactful, with unequal societies showing 5 times higher mental illness rates than egalitarian ones. Minority ethnic groups face higher psychosis rates due to multiple forms of discrimination. Professor Swaran Singh attributes elevated psychosis in migrant populations to social defeat from persistent marginalization. Urban environments also multiply risk. South London residents are 8 times more likely to experience psychosis than their rural Spanish counterparts. While environment plays a crucial role, genetics matter too. Rather than a single schizophrenia gene, hundreds of genetic variants contribute to the disorder, highlighting the complex interaction between biology and experience. The history of antipsychotic medication began in 1952 when French psychiatrists began injecting psychotic patients with chlorpromazine. Far from restoring patients to normalcy, it induced what they called a psychic syndrome. Patients became motionless, pale, silent, responding slowly with minimal initiative or emotion. Despite this, the drug transformed global mental health care, facilitating the closure of large asylums. Antipsychotics produce devastating extrapyramidal effects that ironically mimic stereotypical behaviors associated with madness. Second-generation antipsychotics bring their own problems: anxiety, excessive salivation, drowsiness, weight gain, diabetes, and heart disease. Most alarmingly, long-term antipsychotic use causes the brain to grow more dopamine receptors where they've been blocked. This dopamine supersensitivity creates two problems. Stopping medication leaves a proliferation of unblocked receptors, while continuing medication becomes less effective as receptors multiply. Despite their dangers and limitations, antipsychotics do help many people. As a mental health nurse, I witnessed a small minority whose lives were positively transformed, watching them return from dark, distant places as the world reformed before their eyes. We must be honest about what these drugs are, intoxicating substances with limitations and risks, while acknowledging their value for some. What's often overlooked is that psychosis can be understood as psychological adaptation, a coping strategy gone awry, or mental storytelling responding to unbearable life events. As Professor Ellen Sachs describes, the schizophrenic mind is not split, but shattered. This shattering affects roughly 1 in 100 people worldwide, with higher rates among men, younger people, and racial minorities. Hallucinations aren't just experiences of those with psychosis. Everyone hallucinates to some degree. Dr. Philip Corlett of Yale explains that most perception is controlled hallucination. Our brains constantly generate predictions about reality based on previous experiences. Complex hallucinations, like voices, may result from an imbalance where higher cognitive processes exert too much influence on basic perceptual processes. Our journey reveals key insights. Psychiatric diagnoses are flawed. Genes increase susceptibility rather than being defects. Early experiences shape our brains, and hallucinations may be extensions of normal thinking. While the current diagnostic system provides a common language, it often fails to capture the complexity of human suffering and resilience. WHO studies reveal a paradox. People with schizophrenia fare better in developing countries than in wealthy nations with advanced medical care, suggesting that social bonds and community integration may be more therapeutic than sophisticated interventions. The path forward may lie in human connection and understanding rather than biological interventions alone. Mental health concerns all of us as we navigate consciousness and seek meaning in suffering. In a world quick to pathologize difference, we must remember that behind every diagnosis is a person with a story. Our greatest healing potential lies in creating spaces where all experiences are valid and different ways of being are celebrated, recognizing that what we call madness might sometimes be a rational response to an irrational world.